Before we get started, before any of this starts, I'd like to remind you that you can experience an ad-free version of this by clicking the link in the description that says plus.acast.com/s/radiofreecatholic. May God bless you and the Virgin protect you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Exsurgat Deus dissipentur inimici eius. Et fugi anch'io derunt eum a facie eius. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let all those who hate him flee from before his face. I've been away from the microphone for a while, and mostly it was because I was waiting for a sign. I have a few episodes that I've been meaning to publish, and I will publish them shortly. But this one is kind of the one that stuck me in the bottom and said, hey, you need to move your keister and get moving. The next phase has begun. For those of you who are unaware, Cardinal Burke has announced a 9-month novena to cover from the 12th of March, that is today as I record this, until the 12th of December, the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. This comes right around the same time as the sign that I was waiting for. That came from a Catholic religious community, the Mission of Divine Mercy. This religious community is located near San Antonio, Texas. The archdiocese that you may be aware has gotten itself involved in a nasty controversy with a family trying to destroy a Catholic family business. Now, you may not be aware of it. If you are aware of it, then chances are you heard about it from LifeSite News. Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Siller has canceled many good holy priests, and the current scandal is his cancellation of a Catholic family business. Now, Archbishop Garcia Siller has done exactly what it is that you should do if you actually want to suppress a message from heaven, and that is to say nothing. This religious community has been receiving messages for the last 30 years, and it has finally reached an apex where a priest, Father John Mary, has decided, evidently by compulsion from our Lord himself, to go ahead and release the message as public. Now, for more about it, for more in detail, I would recommend that you go to the LifeSite News, or you can dip in and listen to Dr. Anthony Stein's YouTube channel at Return to Tradition. LifeSite News broke the story, so I would probably go to them first. The questions about all of this, and you know, I'm a couple degrees removed. I first saw this on LifeSite, and I was kind of letting it stew for a little bit as I tried to figure out whether or not this was going to be enough. What made this enough for me to talk about is the fact that this is in an archdiocese that is currently involved in a massive scandal. This is in an archdiocese that has persecuted holy priests. This is in an archdiocese that has done everything apparently from the outside to try and extinguish any light from our Lord. By doing this, because the Archbishop has chosen to say nothing, it's more difficult to be able to say that this religious community is acting in disobedience of the Archbishop. The Archbishop has said nothing about it. He has not confirmed it. He has not condemned it. He has not bothered to investigate based on the information that I currently have as of right now, today, March 12th. Like I said, from a political standpoint, from an information warfare standpoint, if you wanted to legitimately bona fide extinguish a message to make sure that the message doesn't get spread, you do nothing. You say nothing. You simply don't answer the call. If you don't pick up the phone to answer it and you don't actually give any comment on it, they can continue to send the messages because, according to the way the hierarchy is supposed to work, they're supposed to appeal to the Archbishop to say, hey, we've been receiving this. Will you investigate so that we can confirm whether or not this is actually supernatural in nature? Now, as a layman, I read this message, I hear the words, and it appears to me to be true. But I am a layman. I'm a warfighter. I'm a mechanic. I am not a priest. I am not a theologian. I am not an expert in ecclesiology, theology, or any of the like. My approach to these things is as a mechanic. If the part works and the system functions with this part, then the part must be good. And there's a little bit of latitude in there. As an aircraft mechanic, I'm required to test things before I put them in the aircraft and actually sign off that it is good. But I have there is no calibrated tool with which I can actually test this myself. But given the confluence of events, given the time that we live in, given the scandals that are currently going on in the church, I do believe that this message is worth hearing and maybe worth approaching your bishop, your priest. Because what it looks like in the church and in the world is that the battle lines are being drawn and the war is about to begin. And now is the time for us to decide, are we on the side of God or are we on the side of the devil? Are we on the side of God or are we on the side of the world? Are we on the side of God or are we on the side of our own flesh?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And it is with that I bring you this message. This is Caleb the Mechanic with Radio Free Catholic. Let's get started with a prayer. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Sancta Michael Arcangele, defende nos in proelio. Contra nequitiam et insidias, diaboli est opraesidium. Imper et illi Deus supplices deprecamur, tu que princeps militae caelestis, Satanam aliosque spiritus malignosque ad perditionem animarum, pervagantur in mundo divina virtute, in infernum detrude. Amen. Cor Jesu sacratissimum, miserere nobis. Mater dolorosa, ora pro nobis. Sancta Michael Arcangela, ora pro nobis. Domine, ostende facem tuum et salvi erimus. Ave Maria Purissima, Immaculata Conceptio est. In nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. The message. From God the Father. Time to join my army. A call to priests and bishops. Dated February 22, 2024. To my children, scattered throughout the world. Your God speaks to you from the little holy hill, our new Tepeyac. The time has come, my children, to call you to join yourselves to my army, the army that I have formed and forged in silence, in what is hidden, with countless trials, sacrifices, and sufferings. How many battalions have I formed throughout the world on each continent? As cisterns of pure water to give life to my hungry and abandoned children, hungry for the truth, hungry for me, and abandoned by those who have become a stumbling block to me, my priest sons, to whom I have given the mandate and mission to care for my sheep, to protect them and nourish them with my sacred food. But these shepherds have fallen asleep and have abandoned you, my children, the vast majority of them. I have faithful shepherds, the joy of my heart, who, united to my Jesus, work ceaselessly to guide my sheep into my fold. And how they are hated and persecuted. They will receive the crown of martyrdom for the witness and work in my honor. My voice is about to thunder in order to awaken my sleeping children, drunk with the world and with Satan's lies. They do not recognize the times. They do not recognize my voice, and they are useless to me. But I will wake them up with the thunder of my voice. My children, you who suffer at seeing the devastation of my church, at seeing the world completely dominated by Satan and his cohorts, raise your eyes and your hearts to me, children. You have called me, and I come. You have been faithful, and now I show you that I am your faithful God. Faithful to my word, faithful to my truth, faithful to my love for you. I come, children, to restore what is mine. I come, children, to take possession of what Satan, in his infinite pride, wished to take from me. I come, children, to reconquer your hearts and the hearts of all my children. Raise your eyes, children, and wait for me. Raise your hearts, my little ones, and trust in me. Raise your hearts, and you will see me. Do not be afraid. Your God arises on your behalf. Remain in me. And do not fear. Caveat, these are separate messages. That one was from God the Father. These messages were given to a sister in this community. It just occurred to me I neglected to mention that part at the beginning. I intended to. That is the one missing piece. So this is actually written to a religious sister, to a nun. Message continues. Write now, daughter, for my priest sons. Those who, instead of being my closest collaborators, my most docile and faithful instruments, my rest, have become a very great hindrance, souls of thieves, stealing from my children what belongs to them as heirs and by necessity, my grace, my guidance, my light, my forgiveness. Souls rebellious to my voice, lazy souls. Souls that, having lost me, do not seek me. Venturing further and further into darkness, they turn their backs to my light. They will become drier and more withered than the fig tree I cursed before entering Jerusalem. Throughout the years, I have pruned and fertilized them, trying to revive them, but they refuse my help. My help. The help I send how and when I want, as do for my children. Woe to those shepherds who are a hindrance and are useless to me. I give you one more opportunity. I grant it to you, a last opportunity obtained for you by the sacrifice and prayer of those whom you have despised and abandoned, my victim souls. In response to them, I give you one more opportunity. Do not waste it. I will wait one more hour for you. But if you do not respond, if you do not listen to me, I will proceed with my plan, casting you aside so that you do not cause any more damage with your inaction. I need your help, sons. I called you. I created you for this hour, that you might help me and help your brothers, so that you take me to the souls who are in most need. So that you protect my sheep, so that with my power and authority you free them from Satan's claws, so that you take my peace and hope into the darkness of despair, so that you feed my sheep, so that you heal them. Sons, it is a very arduous work, exhausting, laying down your lives at each minute, with each step. I need you. Wake up! Sons, see what is in truth happening around you. Come out of the miasmas of the enemy, of his confusions and seductions. My voice is clear, direct. The yes that is yes, and the no that is no. The truth is light. Sons, you are surrounded by lies. You have been lied to. And you have absorbed these lies that are so harmful because they obscure the truth. And by obscuring the light of truth, your whole being is obscured, and you are easily distracted, and you become completely harmless to my enemy. I need warrior sons, priests, and soldiers, fearless in battle. I gave you a sword on the day you were consecrated to me, to my service, in my temple. What have you done with it? I gave you a pure, white stole. In what condition is it now? And your consecrated, anointed hands, what have you used them for? Where is your faith, sons? Instead of being the strong, invincible flame that gives you life and warmth and makes you true co-workers of mind, you have let it be extinguished. I only see a little flame here and there. So poor and weak. Sons, this is why darkness has spread, because there is no faith in my priests. The simple and pure faith of children, the strong and valiant faith of my children, loyal unto death faith, the faith that is light and life, you have let it be extinguished in you and in my children. You are responsible for so much darkness, sons. And you, called bishops, who should be the fathers for my priest sons, examples and guides, you have become much worse than demons, for at least the demons recognize me as God, despite hating me. But you have cast me aside, and you have used me for your own ends. Woe to you. Woe to you if you do not recognize this last opportunity, if you do not turn to me, if you do not recognize your guilt and responsibility. Yes, you carry a terrible responsibility, gigantic. and I will call you to an account. No one mocks me. No one takes advantage of me. You are so blinded that you do not see how you are being used and manipulated. I speak to you, my sons, who were once sincere in following me. I must correct you. It is mercy. I must wake you up. It is mercy. I must shake you. It is justice. I am your father, and I have mercy. But I am also your king, and I demand your loyalty and your obedience. And I am your God. Do not forget this. And as God, I have a right to everything, that you give me everything. Reconsider. Listen to my voice. These words that I give to you now, to show you what I need from you now. You have not only let the smoke of Satan infiltrate into my sanctuary, but you have allowed a whole army of demons to take your places. And you have allowed the usurper to sit on the chair of my Peter. He who is carrying out the great treason that will leave my church desolate. And you have allowed this. And you carry with you the terrible responsibility of this horrendous offense to me, your God. You have abandoned me, and you have abandoned my little ones, and you have abandoned my Jesus. Woe to you. Sons, listen to me now. Turn to me now. Leave behind your criteria and receive my light. You are in darkness and do not realize it. But I, your God, have mercy. I, your good Father, take pity on your blindness, starvation, and nakedness. And I offer these words of mine so that you in them, you hear me. With them, you clothe yourselves, and by them, be nourished. Make haste, sons. There is no more time. I need you to be completely mine. Do not resist my voice, sons. I speak to you as your father. But soon I shall speak as the all-powerful and only God, the Lord God of hosts, he who is the only one. No one can resist this voice. Before this devastating thunder that will demolish, I will bring down every presence of the enemy and all those who choose him over me. I give you this last opportunity. I remind you of the well-known saying, "He who runs with wolves learns how to howl." You have not recognized the wolves that surround you. You have received them as true shepherds. And instead of speaking only my words, my truth, you have let them howl, and you have begun to imitate them as well. Stand up, sons. On guard. Wake up. Fight. Defend what I have entrusted to you. It is the last call. I want you in my army. Now. I have my plan. Do not hinder me. Do not hinder me. Remember that you are servants, that you are sons, and as such you owe me obedience and fidelity. Once you have stood up, raise your brother priests. Remember that I am your head. I am who unites you. I am your leader and captain. Your hour has passed, and mine begins now. My hour, the hour in which my plan is revealed for what it is, infinite, powerful, unshakable, radiant. For years you have been deaf to my voice that speaks in these small voices scattered throughout the world and in each age of the church for the good of all of my children. You have cast them aside, considering them superfluous, just imaginings of unstable minds. But now, I unite these voices in my voice of thunder. My voice will thunder to the ends of all that is created. My voice will reach the deepest depths. All that exists will feel the thundering of my voice. Only I can say enough. The great enough that defeats the works of Satan. I, your God, will say it. And I call you to once again take your places in my army, and that with me you raise your voice in this great cry. I wait for you, sons, one more hour, no more. I have waited for you for a long time, and there is no time left. Get your houses in order, sons. I am coming, and I will visit each of you. Are you ready for this visit of mine? No. This is why I come to awaken you, so that you make yourselves ready, so that you remember your Abba and remember your true vocation. Sons, stand up now. My plan advances inexorably, a plan of mercy and justice, a plan of goodness and power, my plan to reconquer my children, my church, and all of my creation. Listen to me, sons. Stand up. Your Abba, your Father who loves you, your Lord and God, He who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. I am coming. At this point, I'm going to go ahead and add a few notes. This is actually from LifeSite News. As it frequently happens, the readings from Mass of the day following the giving of one of these messages seem to confirm what was dictated, sometimes very clearly, sometimes more subtly. The readings for February 27th, Tuesday of the second week of Lent, were Isaiah 1, 10, 16 to 20. Hear the word of the Lord, princes of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, people of Gomorrah. Wash yourselves clean. Put away your misdeeds from before my eyes. Cease doing evil. Learn to do good. Make justice your aim, redress the wronged. Hear the orphan's plea, defend the widow. Come now, let us set things right, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they may become white as snow. Though they be crimson red, they may become white as wool. If you are willing and obey, you shall eat the good things of the land. But if you refuse and resist, the sword shall consume you. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Psalm 50, 8 and 9, 16 to 17, 21 and 23. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you, for your burnt offerings are before me always. I take from your house no bullock, no goats out of your fold. Why do you recite my statutes and profess my covenant with your mouth, though you hate discipline and cast my words behind you? When you do these things, shall I be deaf to it? Or do you think that I am like yourself? I will correct you by drawing them up before your eyes. He that offers praise as a sacrifice glorifies me. And to him that goes the right way, I will show the salvation of God. Ezekiel 18, verse 31. Cast away from you all the crimes you have committed, says the Lord, and make for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. And from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 23, verses 1 to 12. Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to carry, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All the works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi. As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one father in heaven. Do not be called Master. You have but one Master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. But whoever humbles himself will be exalted. On the off chance you happen to be not Catholic and you're hearing me read these passages, yes, we know. You have a problem with calling priests Father. You have a problem with calling bishops Lord. You have a problem with the Pope. We know. You're mistaken. This podcast episode is not to spend time arguing all of that. I'm simply going to say, you're mistaken. In line with this, actually, before I go on to the next piece, let me tidy this up a bit. You have allowed the usurper to sit on the chair of my Peter. That was in the message. He who is carrying out the great treason that will leave my church desolate. And you have allowed this. This is not a message to the lay faithful. This is not a message, even really, to the priests. This is a message to the cardinals. This message is a wake-up call for the cardinals. The ones who have put us in the situation that we're in, and now find themselves trying to navigate their way around to try and figure out, well, what can we do, because this pontificate has turned into something that no one saw coming. No one, that is, except God. And Our Lady. There are some resonances here. The message of Our Lady of Good Success, and for those of you who cringe at me saying Our Lady of Good Success, because that's not an accurate Spanish, that's not the really accurate for the Spanish translation. Yo hablo español. It is accurate. It is accurate for what the message was. It is accurate historically speaking. Just because people use the word success wrong today does not mean that the word success is wrong in this context. The message of Our Lady in Quito foretold that there were going to be problems with the church. The messages of La Salette, the ones that are supposedly unapproved, they are actually approved. They were recently released from the archives. It's the whole reason why we know them, because somebody went out of their way to try to suppress it when they probably would have been just a little bit smarter to do nothing. The message of Our Lady of La Salette, Rome will lose the faith. And this has multiple meanings. One of the meanings is actually being played out today as Pope Francis has actually come out and said that the city of Rome is now mission territory. Italy, the geographical home of the Catholic Church, is now mission territory for the Catholic faith. So that's on the one hand. In fact, practitioners of the occult and Catholics who have fallen away at least enough to now start looking into tarot cards and palm reading and Ouija boards and all of that stuff, they number in the hundreds of thousands, even in the city of Rome. The city of Rome has actually become mission territory for the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Simultaneously, however, Rome, from a more metaphysical standpoint, we have been looking for the last 11 years now
We have been looking for the last 11 years now, as the Curia has seemed to fall into further and further disarray. Now, there have been cardinals and bishops who have been, and archbishops, who have been doing everything that they can within the parameters that they are permitted. And keeping in mind, of course, that, I mean, you know, these are the same people who have killed priests. These are the same people who probably are ultimately responsible for the death of Pope John Paul I. And these are the people responsible for the new Advent, or what was it, the new Pentecost? The springtime, the new evangelization season in the aftermath of the Second Vatican Council. But Our Lady of La Salette actually said that Rome would lose the faith. And no matter how you slice it, that basically has become true. Our Lady of Fatima has actually made similar message. Our Lady of Akita has made message, the same message. Our Lady of the Resurrection, the appearance of Our Lady to Bruno Cornacchiola in Rome. The messages given to Bruno Cornacchiola were explicit about the cassock and the broken crucifix, about what they meant, about the departure of priests from the priesthood, about how the priests and religious would abandon their vows. And we have seen this today. We have seen God's special forces, the Jesuit order, the Society of Jesus, turncoat. Not every one of them, but like our Lord says in this message, the vast majority. And people have been resisting on different levels. The Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen resisted as much as he could. Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre resisted, probably more than anyone else. But we have had politicos in the Vatican instead of priests. We have had politicians, at least since the Second Vatican Council. Popes who have had their own idea as to what direction the church should take, and have decided of their own free will that they were going to abandon the messages given by heaven to them for their own sake. And we have paid a price, and they have seen it. Pope Paul VI saw it. Pope John XXIII saw it. It was the Holy Father in the aftermath of the Second Vatican Council who said, but by some fissure, the smoke of Satan has entered the church. He saw what happened. He made the choice. There were apparitions that talked about a corrupt council. In the last 500 years, the approved Marian apparitions of Holy Mother Church, the ones that Holy Mother Church has approved, either at the diocesan level, the archdiocesan level, or at the level of the universal church, for 500 years, these apparitions have all been saying the same thing, that we were coming to this point right now. And Holy Mother Church has taught that in particular, where the boundary between public and private revelation seems to be immaterial vis-a-vis Our Lady of Fatima, you're not obligated de fide to believe the message, but you do sin against piety if you don't. Why? Because if the church has confirmed the message, then the message is in line with sacred scripture. So the apparition in Fatima, the apparition in Akita, the apparition in Cabejo, the apparition in Quito, the apparition in Champaign, Wisconsin, the apparitions that have happened all around the world, from Our Lady of Guadalupe, which appears to me to be the most blatant of the beginnings of Our Lady's ministry on the earth, all the way up until today, Now, don't get me wrong, there are some disputes. There's a dispute about Garabandal. There's a lot of confusion around Medjugorje. There just is. I believe Garabandal. I do not believe the apparitions in Medjugorje. But I will not deny the conversions that are happening in Medjugorje. God can write straight with crooked lines. Such as it is. I believe Garabandal because I believe Garabandal was actually misunderstood. And I believe that the apparitions of Garabandal are connected to this in some way, shape, or form. Why? Because the visionary is actually still alive. And if, in fact, it turns out to be true, and mind you, what was the message of Garabandal? It was the most... If an apparition's message could be called mundane, this would be the most mundane of all messages. Because the message of Garabandal was to pray the rosary. The message of Fatima was to pray the rosary. The message at Akita was to pray the rosary. The message is repeatedly, early and often, pray the rosary. If the message would have been, and in all honesty, best I can tell, the apparitions of Medjugorje, at least some of them, said pray the rosary. Now, there's a lot of confusion about Medjugorje, but I'm not going to deny the message, pray the rosary. So they come in and say, hey, yeah, well, you know, because of Medjugorje, I pray the rosary every day. Great. Because, without a doubt, I believe that message. Period. Full stop. If Our Lady says nothing but pray the rosary in an apparition, as far as I'm concerned, that's a message from heaven. Because it's been again and again and again and again and again. How are we going to make it through the dark times? Pray the rosary. Consecrate yourselves to Our Lady. Reconsecrate daily. Consecrate yourself to the Sacred Heart. Consecrate yourself to as many saints as you can think of. As many saints as you can commit to. Pray fast. And, more than anything else, single line all the way at the beginning. Remain in me, and do not fear. Pray fast, and don't worry. For the priests, everything that I've seen before this, the reason why I'm amplifying this message is because everything that I have seen has said that the battle lines are being drawn. And I'm not talking about messages from heaven. I'm talking about just what I see out in the world. The spiritual battlefield, as it sits right now, the battle lines are being drawn. Why am I amplifying this message? Because if this message is correct, if it is true, if this is the voice of God speaking to this consecrated religious sister, if this is God's voice, all he is saying is exactly what you can see with your own eyes if you just look. The battle lines are being drawn. This isn't political. It's beyond political. This is about the salvation of souls. Are you going to help and enforce the supreme law of the church? Salus animarum, suprema lex est. Or are you going to turn away from your responsibilities? Are you going to allow yourself to be bullied?
Or are you going to double down? Yes, you face punishment if you defy your bishop. But you can do that and still be obedient sons. Bishops. Excellencies and eminences. I don't know if you can really understand how deeply wounding it is that it takes retirement for you to preach the gospel. I am grateful for Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. I am grateful for Cardinal Burke. I am grateful for Cardinal Mueller. I am grateful for all of these cardinals and bishops and archbishops who have begun to speak out now that they're retired. And I'm not grateful that they decided to speak out now that they've retired. I'm grateful that they finally have decided to speak out. And to all of you, I say this as a loving son, a child of Holy Mother Church. You were weak. You were weak. At one point in my military career, I disobeyed a lawful order from a flag officer, a 4-star. The commander of U.S. Central Command. And I did this because I absolutely refused to fail the mission. And I had two at the time. I'm not really going to spend a lot of time diving into the details. God did protect me because I did not receive the punishment that I should have. And it's because I accomplished the mission. And because at every level, when they made the mistake of, and this is a mistake, by the way, if you ever actually want to hammer the heck out of somebody for disobeying you, then you don't dare ask why. Because when they did ask why, I told them. And every sergeant major and every commander at every level, from me to the commander of Central Command, said I would have done the same thing if I were in your place. I did pay a price for it. I did not pay the price I could have. But one thing is for absolute certain. You issue an order that causes me to fail my mission, especially if it's a mission as important as the salvation of souls. You issue an order that betrays the cross of Christ and the whole point behind him coming to earth. If you issue that order to me, I'll be polite about it. I'll be respectful of your office. But I will act in a way that says, clearly, go pound sand. I have a mission, and my mission is at the foot of the cross. You, excellencies and eminences, have had your whole life on this mission. It would have been better if you would have done the same. I got it. Archbishop Lefebvre was calumniated. He was excommunicated. He was effectively given the crown of white martyrdom because he saw what was happening, saw that it was contrary to the mission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, contrary to the commander's intent, and he said, "No, I will not fail." And all of you, you went along. And those of you who have made it to retirement, perhaps your conscience is niggling at you, perhaps your guardian angel has it a little bit louder, for no other reason than because you think you don't have as much to lose. Excellencies, eminences, you're going to lose your soul. You're going to lose eternity. And for all those times that you stayed silent when you should have stood up, you will be called to account. And I pray that God's mercy be on you rather than his justice. Because if it comes upon you without recourse to his mercy, you're going to burn. And I can't speak for God, but I know I personally would prefer that no bishop, no cardinal, no priest of the Most High God be condemned to hell. And I most certainly prefer that it be, or more accurately, I should say, I most certainly prefer that you not be vomited out of our Lord's mouth because you were lukewarm, because you just went along for the ride, because you chose the things of this world, the accolades, the promotions, the clutch nominations to various offices in the Curia, or to vast and wealthy archdioceses, rather than actually look out for the souls. Do you understand that our Lord has actually managed to keep the church alive? Not because bishops are the greatest administrators. The thriving of the church, the times when things were going great, you had the leeches still in the church, but you had good leaders, good pastors, faithful. And I think, in all honesty, given the fact that all of you who are currently wearing red and scarlet hats today have never chosen the path of Padre Pio, have never chosen the path of St. Francis of Assisi, have never chosen the path of St. Augustine, but have rather chosen the path of ease, of comfort, of prosperity, I pray that you take the time out to repent, especially, most especially, those of you who have allowed predators, vipers, wolves, and degenerates, truly wicked, base men, into the priesthood. Men who could not control their impulses. Men who had no discipline. Men who allowed themselves to be seduced by pleasures as lowly as pleasures of the flesh. Those of you that covered it up. Those of you who went along. I tell you, if this message is real and you have but 1 hour, under normal circumstances, an hour is only a year. From what I've seen of most of the revelations, most of the private revelations to saints, an hour means a year. It means at the most you have until the turn of next year. You may actually only have until the end of Cardinal Burke's 9-month novena to figure it out. Time is short. And for those of you who can't read the writing on the wall, for the whole world, time is short. We have the choice We have a choice right now to choose the sign of Nineveh as our Lord is calling us to repent. What's the sign of Nineveh? I said it in a previous podcast. The sign of Nineveh, the sign of Jonah is not, in this case, 3 days in the whale. The sign of Jonah is the repentance of the city of Nineveh. You can choose repentance now. Or in that hour, a mere hour from now. What is probably, in all honesty, right about a year. We can choose to be destroyed. To everyone within the sound of my voice, I highly encourage you. Join in with the 9-month novena. And speaking of the 9-month novena, if you would join me now, as I join us with Cardinal Burke, in the prayer of the 9-month novena to Our Lady Guadalupe, going from today, the 12th of March, in the year of our Lord 2024, until December 12th, 2024. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Virgin Mother of God, we fly to your protection and beg your intercession against the darkness and sin which evermore envelop the world and menace the Church. Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, gave to you, us, as a mother, as he died on the cross for our salvation. So too, in 1531, when darkness and sin beset us, he sent you, as Our Lady of Guadalupe, on Tepeyac to lead us to him, who alone is our light and our salvation. Through your apparitions on Tepeyac and your abiding presence with us on the miraculous mantle of your messenger, Saint Juan Diego, millions of souls converted to faith in your divine Son. Through this novena and our consecration to you, we humbly implore your intercession for our daily conversion of life to him and the conversion of millions more who do not yet believe in him. In our homes and in our nation, lead us to him who alone wins the victory over sin and darkness in us and in the world. Unite our hearts to your Immaculate Heart so that they may find their true and lasting home in the most sacred heart of Jesus. Ever guide us along the pilgrimage of life to our eternal home with him. So may our hearts, one with yours, always trust in God's promise of salvation, in his never-failing mercy toward all who turn to him with a humble and contrite heart. Through this novena and our consecration to you, O Virgin of Guadalupe, lead all souls in America and throughout the world to your divine Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And for those of you who were wondering why I thought this was the sign, these messages came out well before Cardinal Burke announced the 9-month novena to Our Lady of Guadalupe. And this message, coming from our new Tepeyac, and this novena referencing Tepeyac. I don't believe in coincidences. this. Personally, I believe was from God. This warning and this novena. Today is day one. We have 9 months. From today until the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, December 12th, during Advent. It would be a good idea to take this message. Like I said, you can find it on LifeSite News. You can forward this podcast. Take this message to your priest. Take this message to your bishop. It's not even to see what he says. Just let them know. The time is coming. The battle lines are drawn. And you'll be praying for them to be on the right side. Because they're either with Christ or they're doomed. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Pray for the church. Pray for the nation. And pray for all of us in Catholic social media. Because if this is the last hour, this is also the perfect time for all of us to go completely bonkers and damn ourselves. This is Caleb the Mechanic with Radio Free Catholic. May God bless you and the Virgin protect you. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.